now for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Well, welcome on into IUP Plus on News for Utah Plus. Appreciate you being here. This is our streaming show where we go past the headlines of Inside Utah Politics and really dive in. I bring in these fine analysts that are sitting beside me to break down all of Utah's political headlines. Want to introduce producer Peter because he's here too.
Hi,
producer Peter. It's good to be with you.
Are we allowed to like look in different directions?
Or do
we have to stay focused?
This is
on
like the Brady Bunch where you got to look forward, but you can look like kind of like going.
Lindsay, don't tempt the cameras to misbehave.
Sorry. Okay, don't tempt the cameras because they're like AI.
About this right now, you know.
Okay, so we are going to discuss those lines and that lawsuit today. We are going to break down these five new congressional maps that the legislature has released, and then they're also proposing a new bill in the middle of this whole redistricting thing. We're going to change redistricting law in the middle of this. So first, let me introduce my analysts. Hi, guys. Introduce yourselves. Tell me who you are.
I'm Leah Murray, political science professor up at Weber State University.
Taylor Morgan, partner at Morgan May Public Affairs. I do politics, campaigns, lobbying, all the stuff that both of you judge me for.
You know.
Happy to be here.
You're the big L. Lobbyist. Oh. The big L.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, there are a lot of great lobbyists, okay?
There are a lot of big L's.
You're the big
Easy.
L. You're a lobbyist.
Easy now.
That's what it is. All right. Let's dive in, shall we? Okay. Before we get to breaking down the maps, I want to talk about this proposal to basically update Proposition 4. So if you don't know what Proposition 4 is, that is the citizen-led ballot measure that voters approved in 2018 and the courts have now said needs to be the law of the land. It is anti-gerrymandering criteria that the legislature must now follow when they draw these new congressional lines that a court has required them to do. So with that criteria in mind, they've drawn five new maps, but part of Prop 4 says that these maps have to be symmetrical in their partisanship, meaning they need to be fair to both Republicans and Democrats. Well, what does that mean? The legislature is trying to create a definition of partisan symmetry. Taylor, let me start with you. The definition they want to use is what's called a partisan bias test, and it basically creates a formula of how we compare statewide data to the congressional district data. Can you break this down a little bit and then just tell me what you like and maybe don't like about it?
Yeah, this is a little bit complicated, and the legislature, you know, what they are saying here is that they're trying to simplify this process and create one single mechanical test by which we can really test any map to know if it's quote-unquote fair. Better Boundaries used the term partisan symmetry in its initiative language, which is now, of course, the law of the land. And so the legislature is trying to better define what that means and what that looks like in terms of partisanship and fairness. Now, of course, we know that at no point in the process of drawing the maps can partisan data ever be looked at or considered. However, the legislature is required by statute to look at the impacts of maps after they're drawn on partisanship to make sure that the districts are fair. Partisan symmetry it's not quite intuitive. Really what it means is, say one party wins 55% of the vote in an election and consequently win 70 seats in the legislature because of that. Partisan symmetry is not proportional. What it means is if the other party in that scenario also were to win 55% in the election, would they also win the same number of seats, say, in the legislature? So that's partisan symmetry. It's not proportionality. It's based on election outcomes relative to whichever party wins in an election. Lindsay, we could really get in the weeds here and get very complicated. I hope that's helpful.
No,
there's
a lot
more to it, though.
Leah, I want you to break this down a little bit further, too. Do you like this plan? Because what I'm hearing pushback on is that this plan will always favor Republicans because our data is so skewed in Utah. We've got 50% registered Republicans to 13% registered Democrats.
Right. I mean, a little bit what the legislature has done is chosen the partisan bias test to measure, I think, harm. Taylor, might be the way I'd say it, right? Like, so after you've drawn these districts, how much damage did you do to the Democratic Party in the state of Utah? I think the issue with the partisan bias test is it presumes a counterfactual of a 50-50 situation,
right?
Which Utah doesn't have, right? So this might be an excellent test in a place like Wisconsin or maybe Arizona, where you already got some competitiveness going on. The Democrats are just not not competitive here. So a little bit, you're never going to prove harm against the Democrats when you use a counterfactual hypothetical that doesn't ever exist in reality.
Yeah.
And I think one of the issues is they could have chosen, there are other metrics, the efficiency gap, the mean median difference. They could have looked at declination, which is using geometry, which is super complicated because math.
Yeah,
right?
I think Senator Brammer referred to using calculus as part of this process. So as soon as he said that, I was out, right? You know, yeah. Just not
going to
do math.
None of us know how to calculate this fairness. But Taylor, why is Leah's point, maybe you don't, tell me if you think her point is wrong. She's saying we should use more than one test, and you're saying this is the test we should use.
Well, Leah is hardly ever wrong, for starters. However, I think...
Can I just pause you right there?
Please. Yeah.
Although, let's just let that ring out there that I'm hardly ever wrong.
You are my boss right now.
It's not that I'm saying that you should use one of the other measures. I think what I am suggesting is there were different metrics. The legislature picked one. And then a little bit, you know, I don't know, are they a good faith actor in the mathematical test that they chose in making a decision about what the potential harm is to Democrats? So, Taylor, that's like, if you could speak to, do we think they are being good faith actors in trying to create a test that would really demonstrate harm to Democrats in this process?
Well, I do want to give the legislature credit for acting in good faith. I do believe that they are working earnestly on this and on these maps. It was clear yesterday in the legislative hearing yesterday morning, your legislators were very vocal that they were there under duress they were there under protest. They had no choice, but they were there to comply with the ruling and do their constitutional duty as the judge ordered. And I appreciated that. They spent a lot of time walking through all of these details and sharing the maps with the public, sharing the process, talking about some of these nuances. So I really appreciate that. I think the legislature's argument is now that better boundaries is the law of the land, we have a long list of standards, right, that should determine how maps are drawn. Those standards are in order of preference and priority, right? The hard part about that is that opens up, from the legislature's perspective, that opens up any map drawing process now and forever to litigation, right, at every level. I think the legislature here is trying to get some clarity to simplify the process, establish one single mechanical fairness test in Utah law that all sides could potentially agree on. I know the criticism has been the legislature is essentially trying to play games with the legislation that accompanies these maps. I see that point as well. But again, we could all use more simplicity so that this process is easier to understand, really.
Leah, you're laughing, so you're going to have to explain that laugh.
Yeah, but a little bit, it's like, of course we can use simplicity, but if the simplicity lands on making it impossible to ever demonstrate harm to Democrats, then that's simply bad.
Well, the problem is, the problem is you can't demonstrate any harm to Democrats when you have so few Democrats here. Like you just said, Utah is not a competitive state for Democrats. But notice those two maps are the ones with all the weird squiggly lines where neighborhoods are divided. Those are the Democratic maps, not the other three.
Okay, so we'll get to those maps in just a second. Let me finish up the arguments on this potential change. Leah, do you believe that if this partisan symmetry test passes and judges are required to use this test, will this essentially neuter Proposition 4? That is what the plaintiffs in the lawsuit said to me as I was reporting on this story. They said they believe that with this test, judges will forevermore have to use it, and thus it will kind of... keep the Republican stronghold.
I mean, it does neuter it to the extent that Democrats will actually have to win more elections, right? So they would have to demonstrate stronger vote share. So a little bit, I guess what I want to say is I think the partisan bias test under... Your point's taken, Taylor. I'm not saying there's many, 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 many Democrats out there. But I think the partisan bias test under... represents them, right? Whereas maybe the efficiency gap test, a more modern way of doing this, would maybe give them a more fighting chance, right? And so I think that's what the Prop 4 people are saying, is you picked the oldest, most traditional way to do the partisan bias test. It will therefore make it very difficult for Democrats to show that even the few of them that there are never getting their votes counted or represented.
It's a good point. And I will say, in fairness, I know that I... you know, can be a little bit critical of our good Utah Democrats here. And frankly, that's only because I want more competition. Competitive elections is good for the process. It's good for voter participation. I believe it's good for our state. I mean, the Republicans are doing a bang up job running the legislature, so I don't want to change that. But more competitive elections, I believe, is good for everybody. Perhaps getting more competitive districts, and especially one in Congress, that could maybe energize Utah Democrats. That could maybe bring Democrats out, right, who want to get involved, develop a bench of talent. So I am optimistic in that sense, and I do sincerely hope for the best for Utah Dems.
Let's end on that kumbaya and change the topic, shall we? I want to dive into these maps a little bit. There are five that the Utah legislature has put forward, and I want to break down. So one of the criteria of Proposition 4 that the legislature has to follow, there are several, as Taylor mentioned. First of all, they've got to follow all federal and the U.S. Constitution, federal laws and the U.S. Constitution. Okay, so we have to have all populations equal. We can't disenfranchise minorities or anything like that. Those are some of the federal laws around redistricting. But then Proposition 4 requires that they keep cities together and counties together to the extent possible that they can, right? So I want to just kind of break down the maps from a city and county split and the way each map does that. Taylor, I know you've got some partisan data that you might be able to share with us. So let's dive in, shall we? Let's look at map A really fast.
All right.
Producer Peter is going to be doing the zooming for us. So map A, go ahead, Leah.
I was just going to pause you and say, so this is one that I think Taylor earlier said was a Republican option.
Yeah, this is one of the lean R safe, options that would produce four, at least R plus two congressional districts. Yeah.
Okay, and as Peter zooms in right here, I'm going to show you where the biggest split that happens for a city, and that's West Valley City. It's that area right there that you can see on the screen, that big orange chunk that kind of takes a chunk and splits West Valley City into two districts. Taylor, as this map, you say, leans Republican, is this a gerrymander? I mean, is this slicing out a portion of West Valley City?
What's really hard is we know that Salt Lake County must be divided, right, to follow the standards of Prop 4, to follow federal law and the Constitution when it comes to drawing these maps. We have to divide Salt Lake County somewhere. Salt Lake County has about 1.2 million residents. We need about, I believe, 817,000 residents population-wise per congressional district. So Salt Lake County is just, the population is too big. It has to be in too dense, right? Thank you. We have to divide it somewhere. Now, obviously, that means we're going to be dividing some neighborhoods and some communities. Where and how we do that, right? The devil is always in the details, right? There will always be people who say, not in my backyard, don't divide my neighborhood, but they'll be fine with dividing your neighborhood.
So do we think that that kind of carve out of West Valley City, does that for population necessities or for partisan necessities?
When these maps were drawn, partisanship had no part in drawing these lines, right? Legally speaking, partisanship could have not played a role at all in drawing these lines. Only U.S. Census data from the 2020 U.S. Census, right?
Yeah, and that's perfect, except that there must be an effect, right? So the minute that you take this city and you split it in half, you have cracked some voting base, right, Taylor? Mm-hmm. So even if they did it with their, you know, they were wearing blinders and justice is blind and it was totally census data and no one knew where any humans lived.
Yeah.
After they did it, at some point, if that is cracking West Valley City, right, you've got somebody's power has been diluted. That city now really doesn't have, how do I say, like the district, that city's not a stronghold in that district. They're not going to be able to argue on behalf of city interests as efficiently because they'll have to talk to two members of Congress, right?
Yeah, it's hard, right? We don't have a good definition for community of interest. That could mean so many things. And of course, Leah, you're right. It seems like a city, a neighborhood, that is a clear community of interest in my mind. The problem here, though, is we just have to draw maps somewhere. And unfortunately, some cities will be divided.
Okay, now, let me zoom in. Sorry, you can finish your point, but let me zoom out a little bit on this map so I can show you kind of the other point that this map does. You see that orange District 3 right there? It goes all the way from Morgan County down through Wasatch County and all the way down to San Juan County. Yep. Is that keeping a district compact and communities of interest together as well?
Well, it is accounting for population, right? I mean, we have to find 817,000 Utahns for each one of these four congressional districts. Huge swaths of rural Utah are very sparsely populated, right? And so we're going to have these big, big areas in these districts that seem unusual, but it's because very few Utahns live there. We have to balance out these districts population-wise.
Leah, what do you see?
Yeah, well, a little bit I was going to say, too. We've got 5 years till the next census. I've got to think Utah gets another seat just given population growth. Mm-hmm. And a little bit I wonder how much you're setting up these districts, you know what I mean, to get ready for the additional 817,000 people who will have to count for that next the next round that we're doing this in just 5 years.
Well, presumably the districts will be smaller at that point because we'll have five of them, right? So we'll divide 3 million people by five instead of four, right?
Yeah, just a touch, right? But I think with population growth, it's going to keep
moving. Yeah, it's probably going to be around 758,000 Utahns as well. Yeah.
So Taylor says this map A is a plus four Republican-leaning map. Let's go to map B.
It is at least R plus two in all four districts.
In all four districts. Okay, R plus two, you're saying. Okay, got it.
And of course, the all the pins there on the map are the locations where I have filled up my Stanley mug with Diet Coke over the last week.
That is actually not what those pins
the
mean.
The green ones
is that you
are
traveling
the
state and complaining? Is that
diesel.
What that is?
Yes.
Those pins are complaints from the people who have commented on the on the legislature's redistricting website. So the red ones are negative complaints. The green ones are good. The yellow ones are kind of like, meh, here's the pros and cons. So, all right, let's move to map B, shall we? Map B, take a look at map B. It actually has three city splits. It has one in Provo, right along that eastern border. It has one in West Jordan. And then it also has one in North Salt Lake. And then the other issue with this map that some commenters pointed out in the legislative hearing yesterday, Peter, if you can zoom out really fast, is that it splits Utah County. So it splits Utah County. It doesn't keep it compact and splits it from east to west. Guys, your thoughts on this map?
No, but I love what Taylor said earlier, that NIMBY, not in my backyard, because a little bit I thought, well, maybe Utah County could use a little splitting, like, right? Because it does dilute their power when they do it. But again, to Taylor's point, I don't live there, right?
Sure.
So I am happy Weber County is being, a compact unit in the district. Sorry, pick on you later about that. So your point's well taken. Sorry, Taylor.
Yeah. Taylor, what do you think of this map?
It's really hard. No map is going to be perfect, right? People are going to be divided across city lines, community lines. We just have to account for population in Utah. And the reality of that is that most of our population lives along the Wasatch Front, from Ogden to Provo. And we have to disperse that population across the rest of rural Utah.
What?
And it's hard, right?
Yeah. What is the partisan breakdown on this map?
This is option B.
Yeah.
These are all four solid Republican maps, at least R plus four up to R plus 12.
Okay.
Yeah. No realistic swing district in those four.
Our current Congress members must have feelings about these maps as well, right? So, Taylor, I'm thinking if you're looking at this, it doesn't hurt anybody. Do they put some pressure on the legislature to say we would like these seats as incumbents? This is how we want this map to go?
I would argue there are a number of legislators who will be voting on these maps that have ambitions of running for one of these seats themselves,
right.
Which is interesting, right? I'm not trying to raise a conflict on that, just pointing out that, legislators are looking to their futures as well when they see these maps.
Interesting. All right, let's move to map C, shall we? Oh, we've got to hurry because we only have 5 minutes left. Map C actually has three city splits as well. It splits Mill Creek, it splits North Salt Lake, and then it splits Pleasant Grove as well. Peter's zooming a little bit to show us these different splits again in Mill Creek, North Salt Lake, Pleasant Grove. And then if you zoom out, Peter, again, real quick, we're again looking at that orange District 3 with kind of that not compactness that folks would argue, right, where it kind of takes that eastern portion of the state and goes all the way from Morgan County down to San Juan County. Guys, thoughts?
Okay, really quickly on the partisanship data, this is option C, correct? This has a similar partisan balance to option A, which means a essentially four safe Republican seats, although one of them, District 2, in this set of maps, is slightly more competitive on paper, which is interesting.
What does that mean, on paper?
It means you would need the right kind of Democratic candidate, right? Think of Jim Matheson, think of Doug Owens, think of Ben McAdams.
A case could be made.
This is the kind of Democrat that could win 25% of the Republican vote in that district, right? That's what it would take. And yeah, possible, especially on paper.
Okay. Leah, thoughts on this map before we move on?
Nope. I think it's everything we've been saying, right? Yeah. Like, it's which cities are we cracking? And even if we didn't do that on purpose, then we think about what are the implications for Pleasant Grove when its power gets cracked in a district.
And I will point out that all five of these maps, our current congressional maps, split Mill Creek into four districts, right? Mm-hmm. So none of these maps split Salt Lake County in more than two, right? So in the
mind... feel like better.
Are you happy, Democrats?
In the mind of the people who oppose the current maps we're sitting on, we are not splitting Salt Lake County as much in all of these maps. So important to point that out.
Yeah.
Okay, map D, let's take a look at that. It also splits, this is a two split in Salt Lake County. Salt Lake City and Taylorsville is where...
What's that comment in Wyoming there, Peter? Can we pull up that comment there?
Can we pull up that comment?
See what they have to say?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, zoom back in.
What is Wyoming?
I'm just going to say, I don't have these pre-screened for profanity.
Yeah, let's not check that one off. They're salty up there.
Okay, I also want to point out, this is the same contiguation, right? This map is the first one we're seeing that kind of looks like a donut hole.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got kind of population centers from Utah County South and, you know, and then up in the Orange District that look a little bit like a donut hole. But if we zoom out, let's also take a look at that purple district right there, which spans all the way from the very northern, like Box Elder County, down to San Juan County.
This looks like gerrymandering to me.
Because Ogden has a lot in common with San Juan County.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just going to say.
So again, this is something where we got to have the right populations, but how do we split this? We've got our two donut holes in the middle that are kind of the population centers.
This is the one set of maps that would produce the most likely Democratic seat there.
If a Democrat was going to win, this is
the hole of the donut. This map set, option D, is the one that gives Democrats not just a competitive seat, but a potentially slightly lean Dem seat. Option E is interesting too, but boy, the donut hole, this is, I think, the plaintiff's dream come true right here.
But I will also point out that this map splits four counties. So District 1, it goes Tooele, Wasatch, Davis, and Utah counties all get split up in this map.
Yeah.
So. But also what you just said, Taylor, makes everything you said earlier a little off, right? Because your claim earlier was Democrats could never win. There's only, you know, whatever number you're always saying.
Look at how aggressively we had to gerrymander here, Leah, to give them a chance for a competitive district.
How do you know that this one's gerrymandered?
Look at these maps. That map looks ridiculous, right?
You just don't like it.
The previous maps dividing Mill Creek four ways was nice and clean and easy, right? This map is a hot mess, and frankly, that's what it would take to give Democrats a competitive seat.
This is called
gerrymandering right here.
Right,
this
but you could give Democrats a competitive seat. So a little bit, we've got to just...
Yeah, true.
That is a possible.
It is possible. You just have to have a Democrat run for election and win, which Democrats have a hard time with here.
Leo, you need to laugh out loud on that one.
Yeah, come on now.
Okay, let's move on to map E. This one only has one Salt Lake County split, and it's in Cottonwood Heights. You're seeing kind of a long, kind of hooky type district here. There's a split in Cottonwood Heights that Peter's showing you.
Yeah.
And then again,
this is my hometown. This is where I grew up, and I'm deeply offended by map E. I can't believe they divide my hometown.
We're cracking your power.
You're cracking and packing, and it's cracking.
Doesn't this almost look like the boot of Italy? Scoops
but
in?
But I was also thinking this one looked the most like it's not the same because we only used to have three districts back in the day. But doesn't this look the most similar to when and Jim Matheson won?
Back in the day? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does actually. That's a really good point. Yeah.
So the other issue with this map, Peter, if you can zoom out just a little bit, is the drive. So if you're going from the north end of District 2 all the way into District, whatever the orange one is, 4, I believe? No. Whatever the orange district is.
That is District 3 at the
district
bottom.
District 3. Okay, so if you're going from the north of 2 all the way down to 3, you have to drive through a separate district, District 4, to get there. So the issue is sort of a little bit like, are those people being represented where they're congressperson?
We got mad about it in Mill Creek, but this is fine.
Their congressperson can't even reach them.
Yeah.
So, but again, there is a hierarchy of needs that the legislature has to follow, right? So when we're looking at all these maps, they're, in theory, prioritizing this off that hierarchy. So it starts with the U.S. and federal and constitutional provisions, and then it goes to keeping cities together and then counties together, and then there's some other ones. And then, of course, they can't look at partisan data while they do that.
Right.
So in my mind, Proposition 4 said cities are the most important thing to keep together. Is that right?
I think they said communities of interest, but they didn't define it.
And we basically, it's come out to us as cities.
Well,
the way we're
because
talking
I think no, they very smartly used the optics for political purposes of dividing Mill Creek four ways. That was brilliant for them. But the problem is, hey, guess what? Now we're dividing even more communities and cities because we have to. That's the way this works.
I know we have to wrap, but Peter, can you zoom in one more time? Because I want to show you a little carve out right here in this map. There are some unique carve-outs where it appears that we're sort of going into a neighborhood, going around a street, and then back out of a neighborhood. So you can see some of these little carve-outs right here. And again, I know you guys have made the point, like, not in my backyard in terms of where we split this district.
Yeah.
But why are we doing sort of these carve-outs of these areas?
Because to draw the maps this way, we have to get really, really granular about population.
Okay.
We have to account for high-density population, townhomes and apartments, and, you know, just try to make this work by dividing Salt Lake County in a different way. Frankly, I think these maps are a lot more confusing for voters. And frankly, I think these maps are a big step backward from where we have been,
just
in my opinion.
Because of the way they do the carving?
They're a hot mess. Yeah.
And because they make it possible for a Democrat to win.
I wouldn't oppose that, actually. You just have to have a Democrat who can win, Leah.
We will leave it there. Thank you both, Taylor Morgan, Leah Murray, for joining me today. I appreciate it. And hopefully, if you're listening to this on podcast, it makes a little more sense if you go and watch us on YouTube or on our News for Utah Plus streaming app so you can see those maps and see where those lines divide. This may not be the best podcast episode you've ever listened to.
What?
If you're going to follow along at home, I will link the maps in the description.
Drop a
comment. And you can see which maps have the most comments and the least comments. So there's that too. Okay, so in the redistricting issue, this coming Wednesday, we will have another hearing, a legislative hearing, where we will walk through these maps and have public comment as well. We will vote on which map to move forward. The committee will, I should say, and then we'll take more public comment both on this and the bill to create the partisan bias test. So I would urge all Utahns to go le.utah.gov. That is the legislature's website. Click on that meeting on Wednesday and watch your lawmakers discuss these maps, which ones they put forward, and then which is the best test to use to test partisan fairness. Guys, thanks again.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
That was fun.
I know. We'll see you next time.